morning, everyone. A few different pieces going together. One is that today is the yahrzeit of Rav Elimelech of Lizhansk, who was one of the great rebbes of Poland. He's often known as the Rebbe of Rebbes. And in many, many places, Hasidim would get together on the day of his yahrzeit. First of all, many, many people would travel to the kever in Lizhansk that's closed this year. Many tishin, my Rebbe canceled his tish last night, and many things. So therefore, it behooves us to make note of it, Rabbi Elimelech ben Elazar, and Lili Nishmoso, just again, his beautiful tefillah before the tefillah, but the line that so many people know and pay attention to is that it tells us, V'satzilenu mikinas ish mere'ehu, we should be saved from jealousy of one to the other. We should not even have a thought of jealousy of a person in our heart, not others being jealous of us, and that's sometimes an art, to be thoughtful enough not to cause jealousy in others. We should not be jealous of others. Adraba, right, and here's when Avram Fried starts singing, right, ten libenu, right, put in our hearts, right, the ability, we should be able to see the advantages of our friends and not what they're lacking. We should speak with each person in front of you in the way which is straight and desirable to you. And there should be no hatred from one to the other. Chalila, it applies in these times as much as so many others. Okay, even though the country is a little bit upside down with all this sort of things, life goes on. And I think as Rav Schoonmaker mentioned the other day, it's very important to maintain the routine aspects of life as well, to realize that our point is not just to survive, but to thrive. Okay, the idea of chaim for a Jew, when we say zochrenu l'chaim on Rosh Hashanah, it's not just, I don't want to die. It means I want to live. Right, and life to us is full of content. Atem advekim b'Hashem Elokeichem, chayim kolchem ayom. So the calendar is marching on. We have parshas, we have Pesach, we have all these things coming. The parshas this week, two big ones, right, Vayakel Pekudei, are always very challenging because the Mishkan is something we've been learning about for quite a while, and here in Vayakel Pekudei, it kind of sums it all up. Counting through everything that was brought from the Mishkan, telling us how it was put together, telling us that it was put together. And why is that exciting? So part of it is that we have to pay attention to the story that was happening in the back. If you zoom out the lens and you realize that the most important experiment that ever happened in the universe, the creation of Am Yisrael, was on a steady progression all the way to Har Sinai, and then there was this failure called Chet HaEgel. And there was a resetting, a reshift. It was tshuva, there was the Lucha Shnios. But the question was, would they be able to accomplish what the Ramban says in the beginning of Sefer Shmos, is the whole point of Geula Mimitzrayim, that they would be able to be a Merkava L'Shechina, a chariot to the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be able to reach the level of the Avos. And there was a tremendous lack of confidence in Am Yisrael that they would be able to do that after they derailed the process so badly. The story of building the Mishkan is the story of repair. It's the story of being able to reach the level that they have that Shechina Beinehem and are able to continue on towards Eretz Yisrael, towards the next stage in their destiny. So the engineering of the Mishkan was not simply being able to put together IKEA things without having leftover pieces, right? That wasn't the challenge which was there. The challenge, as we see all the superlatives in these parshas about Bezalel and Aliyev, was the spiritual engineering. Every aspect of the Mishkan had to be imbued with the kavanas and the tefillas and the desires to activate the power of each keli in the Mishkan, each one of the bigdei kahuna, each one of the clothes of the kohen gadol, and to enable Am Yisrael to receive the benefit and the connection of those things, that brings about the V'shachanti B'socham. So the challenges certainly weren't just technical. The challenges were much more spiritual. And when you have people who are doubting their spiritual abilities because of the tremendous failure they had, the Torah here, when you read between the lines, is guiding us about how you get up when you fall. How you have the confidence to do something, to move forward, when you set the whole process backwards. Let's take a look at a couple of the things. There's a strange pasuk in Vayakhel when it talks about the gathering of the materials, especially the gold, for the Mishkan. Perek Lamed Hei Pasuk Kaf Beis, it says, Vayavo ha'anoshim al hanoshim, the men came, literally on the women, kol nediv lev, everyone with that giving of the heart of Yuchoch, v'nezem tabas kumas kol lezov, they brought all sorts of gold jewelry to provide the gold that was needed for the Mishkan. When you look through the Mefarshim, there are really many, many perushim of what is ha'anoshim al hanoshim. Some say that they came with the women. Some say they came after the women. Some say they came before the women. Right? Some say that they brought the women along with the Tachshiti. Now, let's go back to set the scene for a little bit. Chazal, it's in Pirkei de Rabbi Elezer and many other places, tell us that the women did not participate in Chet HaEgel. Okay, the Rebbe Shlita has a beautiful sefer called Schus Nashim Tzidkanias about the power of Jewish women. He said Jewish women did not participate in the two averas which caused Am Yisrael to have to go into Golos, Chet HaEgel and Chet HaMeraglim. So by all rights, Jewish women shouldn't have to be in Golos. They simply come along to take care of us, right, because we do. So it says that the women resisted. When Aaron tried his delaying tactics of telling them to bring the jewelry, the women refused to give their jewelry for the Egel. Because of this, women retain the original celebratory nature of Rosh Chodesh. They have special halachas on Rosh Chodesh. They don't do malachas on Rosh Chodesh. Malachas kind of like the ones that aren't done on Chol HaMoed. Because of this power that they had to resist, they didn't go for it. So the Sfasemis explains Vayavo ha'anoshim al hanoshim in the following way. He says, Al pi maimer chazal, according to what chazal taught us, b'mokom shebalei tshuva omdim, ein tzadikim gemurim echolim lamod. In the position that a person who has done tshuva stands, a tzadik gomer, a total tzadik, one who didn't fall and have to get up, he doesn't stand there. V'zeh shekosuv, that's what the pasuk is telling us. Ha'anoshim, the men, shechotu b'zahav ha'egel. Not long ago, they brought gold for the wrong purposes. They brought gold for the egel. When it came now to bring gold for the Mishkan, they came bo'u b'chela sagi. Right? In Aramaic, that means with extra strength, with extra power. They came to it. Rather than the fact that they failed with gold set them back and had the shame hold them back. How can we come to donate for the Mishkan? We were the ones who sinned. They davka came with extra strength, even more than the women, shelochatu. The women also brought. But v'ayavir hanoshim, al hanoshim, the men brought with much greater strength. And he says, this is really tshuva. Let's look at the word tshuva. Tshuva has in it the idea of lashuv, to bring back, to bring home, to bring something back to its place. Shal yedei shelokeach lo derech mirotzon hachet, that if a person learns, sometimes you discover something about yourself when you do something wrong. Okay, the Eitz Hara can sometimes tap into our hidden potential in ways that we never tapped into before in positive ways. For the things the Eitz Hara offers us sometime, we will stay up late at night. We will travel great distances. We will undergo all sorts of hardships. We will spend lots of money to get those things. And suddenly you realize, wow, look what I'm capable of. Look at what I'm capable of for XYZ. Says the Sfasemis, that's what the idea of tshuva is. Bring that power home. You've discovered it now, it came out in the wrong way. Don't throw it out. Don't curl up in a ball, right, and say, I'm no good, I can't do anything, who am I? Says, no, you've discovered that you're a very powerful person. You've discovered that you can take gold jewelry and you can donate it in a second to something that was a really bad idea. Okay, now, right, take that ability and use it for the good. And when a person describes that, he said, that's what we mean in Pirkei Avos. Asei ritzono kirtzoncho. Many perushim on that in Pirkei Avos. Make Hashem's will like your will, meaning you discovered the willpower you have sometime in the wrong way. Use it now for ritzono, for the ratzon of Hashem. So what you're doing now is you're bringing that very ratzon that was expressed in the wrong way, you're bringing it back to goodness. Right? That's part of the retroactive power of tshuva. He says, because even the powers that we have, sometimes a person asks, why did Hashem make it that I want bad stuff so much? Why did he make me that way? It's not fair. He just messes me up. Right? But he says, the purpose of all of these are l'ilmod derech l'avodos yisparach. You can learn from there the powers that you have to serve Hashem. And it's two sides of the same coin. They say that a Talmud once came to the altar of Nevardak, Yosef Yozel Horowitz, and he was complaining to him. He decided to pour it all out. Rebbe, I have such terrible desires, and I have such terrible things. The altar told him, young man, listen, if something can't become chametz, it can't become matzah. Okay, that fabulous equation that makes some people very nervous on Pesach. The only things which can make chametz, which is public enemy number one on Pesach, is the flour of five types of grain mixed with water. The only thing that can make matzah, which is the ultimate mitzvah that we have to do on Pesach, are those same five types of grain mixed with matzah. Something which cannot become chametz does not have the ability to become matzah. Something that cannot go so low cannot go so high. So if you're discovering in yourself tremendous draw towards things which are low, tremendous urges, tremendous desires, tremendous powers, realize that that's simply the other side of the coin of the powers you have to reach high. And if for some reason you didn't have those powerful urges to lowness, you wouldn't be able to get high. That's part of who and how you are. And if you've discovered it, says the Sfas Emes, in the negative side, so simply take it and bring it home to the positive side. And it's true. That person who never fell is not able to stand in that place. They don't have that discovery of powers to be able to bring home. They don't have that discovery of a rotzon omok, he says, of such a deep desire that sometimes only the person who did something wrong discovers. So this is a fascinating perush where he explains Vayavo ha'anoshim al hanoshim means qualitatively above and beyond what the women were able to do specifically because they didn't sin with the edel. Let's try to step back though and see how does one do that? Because there's a power in the human being, I'm sorry, right, that fights against such behavior, and that's what we call busha, shame. Shame, right? How can you step up to the bat to be one of the first donors for the gold of the Mishkan, which is going to be on the Urn Kodesh, which is going to be on the Kruvin, which is going to be on all these things, when really just a few weeks before, right, you were involved in something that was so shameful. And that shame often can hold a person back. And we'll see, even though shame has its positive places, but sometimes it can be extremely negative. Let's take a look at another fascinating thing. I'm kind of in the mode of thinking about goats today, right? Even though people have heard me for a while know that I have this thing about goats. But last night, right, I went to two beautiful weddings. One beautiful wedding was Naftali Solomon's wedding, which was arranged within 24 hours by the Karlin Stalin Hasidim out in the street in front of their shul, and it was done so beautifully. Second wedding I had to go to was on a moshav called Beit Chilkiah. That was all I knew. I figured it shouldn't be hard to just drive to Beit Chilkiah and ask a person where the wedding was. I discovered, to my chagrin, that there were four weddings that night on Beit Chilkiah because everybody was looking for all sorts of places where you could kind of sit outside. The wedding that I really wanted to get to, after having visited the other three, was in a petting zoo, what they call a pinat chai here, right? Very unusual and picturesque location, right? It did have lots of room for people to sit outside. It also had sheep and goats and turkeys and chickens and a little cart with a donkey attached to it to take the chasen and challah. It was a lot more fun than a regular wedding hall and probably cheaper. But it got me face to face with goats. Now, the fact that Jews have, for the most part, evolved into city slickers cripples us when we learn anything in the Torah that has to do with animals. Okay? If an animal is referred to in Tanakh, that's supposed to speak to us. Right? If it's anything from having to imitate a lion or a leopard, or looking at the different korbanos that we have. If you look at Rav Hirsch and Vayikra, he really explains to us, it could all be interchangeable. For this one, you say a sheep, a goat, a cow this old, a cow that old. We're all put it on the grill. I don't care. You know, whichever one it is, it doesn't speak to us. But those things are chosen very specifically for the purpose of the korban. And so too, the materials of the Mishkan. Now, one of the materials of the Mishkan was made out of goat hairs. Okay, this was the Yirios Izim. One of the coverings of the Mishkan was made from goats. And here we find a very, very strange thing. Different people had different skills that they contributed towards the work of the Mishkan. It tells us, V'chol isha chachma slev v'yadeha tovu. Women, now pay attention, it didn't say women who had skill and skill in their hands, it said they had wisdom of the heart. Because as we said, the whole construction of the Mishkan was primarily spiritual, but you had to have the physical perfection as well. They spun the different threads that had to be brought by Yaviu Matveh. They brought spun Hatcheles Argamon Telas Hashani Vesashesh. So that's that core of women who know how to make that thread. And now we find this exceptional pasuk. B'chol hanoshim, and all the women, asher nosa libon osona b'chochma, that their hearts lifted them up with wisdom, tovu esoizim. It's a strange expression. It says literally, they spun the goats. They spun the goats. Now, what is this? Rashi says, hi haiso umnos yisera. This was a very, very special, unique type of craftsmanship. Shemeal gabe ha'izim ha'yutavinosam. They were somehow spinning on the live goats. Okay, this is spoken about in the Gemara, in Shabbos Tzarites, where it says, shatuf ba'izim, right? If you've hung out with goats, they usually smell a bit strong. Okay, so first they would shampoo the goats, condition them, right? Give them a nice combing, and then somehow, I don't know exactly what this was look like, tavu ba'izim. They were spinning the hairs while they were on the goats. Okay, now, again, if you've spent some time with a goat, you realize goats are not easy creatures to work with. Years ago, I once saw a guy trying to get a goat into a car in Tzfat. It did not go easy. Right? They're tricky characters, and we'll see why and what Chazal attribute to that power of them there. So years ago, when I saw this Rashi when I was a kid, you know, and it sounds amusing, right? It sounds like some Australian sport, goat spinning or something like that. But why? Why not do it normal? Why do you have to wrestle with a goat while you're trying to, like, spin its hair? It doesn't seem to make sense. Baruch Hashem, years later, I found someone who asked that question. There was a great Rav in Hungary, Moshe Greenwald of Chust. He wrote a sefer called Arugas HaBosim. And here, he asked it. He says, V'yesh lo'ovin inyono. We have to understand this. Le'eze tzarech chutzruchu lo'umnus yisera halazu. Yeah, it's a really good trick, he said, but who needs it? Why did we do it? Hello, Bavada, Eina Tvia Ba'atzma Mahuda Yosef Mashatovu Al Gabo Melo Yutovus Betolish Kedarkon. It shouldn't make any difference in the qualitative aspect of the fabric or the thread you're producing, whether you're doing it on a goat or not. So he explains in the following way. Each aspect of the Mishkan, for sure, as we said, was transmitting a certain power to Am Yisrael. And, you should know, it says in the Svarim, those original kelim from the Mishkan were never destroyed. They were hidden, and they were hidden someplace Indiana Jones can't find them. Right? It says, Nignaz bim Koman, I saw Svarim say, basically, they're still here, they're just not accessible in our reality. And therefore they still transmit, the Shulchan still transmits Parnasa, the menorah still transmits Chochmah, these things still have power. And so too, the different pieces that went into the Mishkan. So what was the purpose of the Urios Izim? Okay, goats who are Izim have in their very name the Midah which is called Azus. Az, often translated as brazen, okay, more colloquially, chutzpedik, right? That idea, now, in the Gemara it says that there are three Azim in the world, three that have this Midah. In the wild animals, it's the Nomer, it's the leopard. In the nations, it's Am Yisrael. We have that. In the domesticated animals, it's the goat. The goats are stubborn. The goats are chutzpedik. Once I went with my kids to the petting zoo in the Jerusalem zoo, and I felt this tugging, and a goat was eating my tzitzis. Like they got no problem. You know, they'll go for anything. So where does this idea of Azus fit in? And how does it not contradict something else that Avraham of Fried sings? It's a Gemara in Yevamos, that there are three midos, the umazu, in this nation. We are rachmonim, we're merciful. By shonim, we have this sense of shame, and we're gomli chasadim. Now, the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos points out that the midah of azus and the midah of boshet, of shame, seem to be opposites and lead in very opposite directions. Tells us, az ponim legehinim, a person who has azus, a person who has chutzpah, he goes to gehinim. Right? A person who's boshes ponim, a person who has a sense of shame, who's not the dysfunctional bashful of the seven dwarfs, but a certain proper bashfulness, right? That person goes to Gan Eden. I'll just tell you parenthetically, I think this may have come from Beli Melech of Lizhansk, actually. Tolner Rebbe said his grandfather would tell this over. Chassidim give the parish, right, what's it mean, az ponim legehinom and boshes ponim leganeden, that there are two types of tzaddikim. Tzaddik number one finishes his life in this world, he comes to reception upstairs, and a malach looks in the thing, he says, yes sir, you're going to be in, you know, room 133, right here in Ganeden, here's your key, he takes it, thank you very much. That's boshes ponim leganeden. There's another type of tzaddik, who's an az ponim, right, he comes up, the malach wants to give him his key, he says, wait a second, where are my people? He says, what do you mean? I had people. They were my Hasidim. They relied on me. Oh, where are they? He taps in the computer. He says, I'm afraid most of them are down there. He says, I ain't going into my room until I bring these people out. He's the chutzpah de katzadik. I was parim legehinim. So he said his grandfather added when he was a little kid, he heard that vort and used to imagine, I wonder what the people in Gehinnom say when the tzaddik comes down to take his people out. Some of them say, oh, I always knew the tzaddik would come to help us. Others say, I always knew the tzaddik. Two ways of seeing it. Okay, meanwhile, back to our goats. Okay, so we have this theory, this contradiction of the midah of azus, which seems to be extremely negative, right? It's a quick ticket to Gehinnom. It's the opposite of the midah of busha that the Jewish people are supposed to be typified by. But, like all these things, every midah HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us has its place. And it has to be used in its proper place and its proper balance. He says, if a person is doing his cheshbon ha-nefesh, right? If a person looks through and he feels, he sees things he's done wrong, busha then can be positive. Busha is not meant to cripple you. Busha is meant to say, that isn't me. How did I do that? That's not me. That's not where I come from. That's not where I want to be. That's the idea of busha, which can be there and be positive. But if it's now time to do your avodas Hashem b'simcha, and that cheshbon ha-nefesh is stopping you from doing it, saying, I can't do those things. Somebody like me who did what I did, I can't. That's very negative. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Jewish people the midah of azus, that midah of chutzpah, of being the azin sheba umos, that the person could say, you're right, I messed up, I did wrong, I am ashamed, that wasn't me, but right now I have the opportunity to do something right. And not only am I going to do it, I'm going to take the strength I discovered in myself when I did those things that were wrong, and I'm going to bring them to the table. He says that's why, looking ahead to Pesach, right, when we may still have to bring the Korban Pesach, you find that the Korban Pesach can be brought both from a keves, from a lamb, or from an ez, or from a goat. Because those represent those two aspects. Chazal say kvasim, right, sheep, they're the picture of those who, so to speak, have the midah of busha. They're very subservient. They go, Chazal say, Rosh Shelzeh b'tzad Znova Shelzeh. The head of one goes right behind the tail of the other. Okay, but the izim represent the opposite. That ability to tread your own path, to not just follow, because sometimes following the flock can be negative. I once saw a bumper sticker that said, if you follow the flock, you may end up as a lamb chop, right? So you don't just want to go along with everything which is there. You need that azus, which is there to be able to fight. And in Korban Pesach, which was creating the spiritual DNA of the Jewish people, both things combine to make us who we're supposed to be. So now let's get back to the goats. He says the women were the ones who had to transmit to the men of Bnei Yisrael the midah of azus. Right? A woman, you may discover in life, she can either destroy the man in her life or she can build him up. Right? If you imagine the men coming back saying, we have any gold? What do you need gold for? Right? We're going to be building this thing, the Mishkan. You're going to bring gold? Right? You were just asking for gold a few weeks ago. Where did that get us? Smash luchos. Right? All because of you. And you can grind them into the dirt. Or she can say, good for you. Good for you. Take all of that energy you used in the wrong place. I'm behind you. Go. That ability that the men had to come, what the Svasem is called, Bechela Sagi, with extra strength, came because the women were transmitting to them the strength that they needed to be able to do that. And that, he says, was something that was so important. They went through the difficult work of working on the goats while they were alive so that the Midah of Azus would be transmitted in its full force, in its full lebedekite, in its full vitality, so that they would have the strength that they need to make a tikkun on the Mishkan, to not let the negative sense of busha cripple them, and to be able to tap into the positive azus, to be able to move on and to move forward. He said, that is an umnas yisera. That's a tremendous art. To be able to build someone up after they've fallen, to be able to encourage them, to be able to realize not only can they move forward, but they can take everything from their failure and put that into their future success. That's the umnas yisera that they were doing with those things. And as we march on towards the Pesach, towards one of the new years of the Jewish people, so sometimes we start to look and to think, what have I done since last Pesach? Who am I? What am I? The question is to look now. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the ability, whatever, to have, for many people, more time to prepare for this Pesach in ways that they haven't before. The ability to make it more, to do more, to see ourselves. When Rabbi Elimelech told us, "Shenira malas chaverenu v'lo chesronom," so what we learned today also is one of the first places that has to start is in ourselves. To see malas chaverenu v'lo chesronom, to see in ourselves our own malas. Sometimes, as the Svasem tells us, we even see it derech chesronom, through the things that we did wrong, to be able to see the tremendous strength that we have, and hopefully to be able to implement it for ourselves and for all of Am Yisrael.